Hello and welcome back to Have You Seen It? I'm Maggie, and in this episode, I have a dystopian drama from Spain to tell you about. Are you ready? Let's go. Okay, so this week's show is The Barrier from Spain. The Spanish title is La Valla, which means the fence. The first season came out in 2020. There's only one season as of now, and there are 13 episodes in it. There's supposed to be a second season coming, so hopefully that comes soon. It was created by Daniel Iseja, and it is an Atres Media and Good Mood production. It first aired on Atres Player Premium in January of 2020, and the first episode was released on Netflix in September. And unlike most shows that have already aired somewhere else, Netflix aired the episodes 1 week at a time. Of course, they are all available now, so you won't have to wait to watch them all. I posted about this show back in September of last year when it was first released on Netflix, so if it sounds familiar to you, that might be why. But this show takes place in Madrid, Spain in the year 2045. And Spain's official name is the Kingdom of Spain, and it is located on the Iberian Peninsula, which is in the southwestern part of Europe. Spain is bordered by Portugal to the west and France to the northwest, and it is separated from Morocco by the Strait of Gibraltar to the south. The bodies of water that surround Spain are the Cantabrian Sea to the north, the Balearic Sea to the east, the Mediterranean Sea to the southeast, and the Iberian Sea and the Gulf of Cadiz to the south. The shows that take place the closest to this show are the Spanish show The Neighbor, which also takes place in Madrid, Spain. Another show that takes place nearby is the Korean show Vagabond. A good amount of that show takes place in Tangier, Morocco. I'll put the picture of the map up on Instagram so you can check that out. Some fun facts about Spain are Spain has one of the highest life expectancies in the world with an average age of 83 years. Men have a life expectancy of 79 years and women have a life expectancy of 85. It also has Europe's second highest unemployment rate behind only Greece, but the 13.8% in 2019 is a big drop from the 24.2%, which is what the rate was in 2015, so they are trending in the right direction. Another rate that is increasing is the rate of adults that have high school diplomas. 50% of all adults have high school diplomas, which is below the average rate of 75%, but the rate of millennials that have high school diplomas is 65%, so again, that is trending in the right direction. In 2013, Spain became the first country in the world to have its number one source of energy be wind. It is still one of the leading countries in using renewable energy to power its country. Instead of the tooth fairy, Spanish kids leave their teeth under their pillows for Ratoncito Pérez, a magical mouse that also leaves money under their pillows. And finally, flamenco music comes from Spain. And when we were in Barcelona, me, my brother, and my cousin went and saw a performance that had music and dancing in a small pub. It was one of the best moments of our trip for me. It was absolutely amazing. If you have the chance to see a flamenco performance anywhere in the world, definitely go and see it. But if you have the chance to see it in Spain, you have to go because it is something about it is just magical. They speak Spanish in the show. Well, according to Netflix, it's technically European Spanish. I've been over this before. There's slight differences in pronunciation as well as word usage and stuff like that, but it's Spanish. There are audio alternatives available in English, Italian, French, German, and an audio description available in European Spanish, and subtitles are available in English, closed caption European Spanish, German, and French. This show is rated TVMA, and the disclaimers that Netflix gives for the show are nudity, language, and smoking. The nudity is full frontal for both men and women. Best to watch this show at home. The links to all the websites where I got the information for the show, the fun facts, and any other information that I did not use my memory for are going to be linked in the description of this episode as well as in the caption for the post that I made for the show on Instagram.
Hey, this is Mark Jolliffe, aka DJ Soundwave, host of the Infinite Banter podcast. I want to welcome everybody listening to come check out my show, Infinite Banter. The topics are infinite, and I'll banter about anything from hip-hop music to TV to movies, wrestling, comic books, you name it. I've talked about it on this show. I've had guests like Kurokski from the Fat Boys and underground hip-hop acts like Dirt Platoon on the show. I've also had actor Josh O'Michael from The Walking Dead, Tommy McLaughlin, director of Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, as well as independent wrestlers like Shaza McKenzie and Roxy, and legendary wrestlers like B. Brian Blair have all been on the show. So come check out Infinite Banter, where I'll talk about anything from TV to comic books to wrestling to hip-hop music. Listen to the show on all digital platforms, specifically Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, podcast. Everywhere you hear podcasts, you'll hear the show Infinite Banter. So come check me out, the Infinite Banter podcast.
Okay, so let's go over the cast. First, let's go over the main family. So we have Julia and Sara Perez Noval. They are twins, and Olivia Molina plays them both. Julia lives in Madrid with her boyfriend Carlos Castillo, who is played by Juan Blanco. Their mother, Emilia Noval, who's played by Angela Molina. And fun fact, Angela Molina is Olivia Molina's mother in real life. And the whole time I watched this show, I thought, they did a really great job casting these roles because they look like they could actually be mother and daughter in real life. And it turns out that they are. And I personally love when actors get to film shows or movies with their real life parents or children. I don't know why, it's just like, I just think that's pretty cool. But Emilia, Julia, and Carlos live in Sector 2 in Madrid, which I will talk a little bit about in a little bit. But Sara lives in the Asturias region with her husband Hugo Mujica, who is played by Unax Ugalde, and their daughter Mata, who's played by Laura Quiros. We also see Hugo's younger brother Alex in the show. He is played by Daniel Ibanez. The next family I'll go over is the Covarrubias Lopez family. First is Luis Covarrubias. He is the Minister of Health and he is played by Abel Folk. His wife Alma Lopez Duran is the head of the Scientific Institute, CIM, which is tasked with trying to find a cure for the norovirus that is killing people all over Spain. And she's played by Eleonora Wexler. They have two children together, Daniela, who's played by Belén Ecija, and she is the daughter of the creator of the show in real life, so it's really a family affair, this show, isn't it? But Luis and Alma also have a son, Ivan, and he's played by Nicolas Iorro. Because Luis is a government official, the Covarrubias Lopez family live in Sector 1, which is completely different from Sector 2. I'm not going to say exactly how. I'm sure you can imagine how. They're rich. The other people aren't. But seeing the difference in the show is both powerful and frustrating. And of course, the two sectors are separated by a wall, or the barrier, or la valla. But the Covarrubias Lopez family has house staff. The head of the staff is Rosa. She is in charge of hiring staff members and makes sure that the houses run smoothly. And she is played by Elena Sejo. And the other staff member that we see a lot of is Manuela. She is a maid, and she is played by Ayamo Ramos. The three other characters I'm going to mention are two police officers and the bitch across the hallway. So first is Comandante Enrique. He is played by Manu Foyoya and is in charge of solving the crime that is committed at the beginning of the show. And the other officer we see a lot of is Officer Navarro. He's played by Oscar de la Fuente. And finally, the bitch across the hall. That's not the official description of Begoña Sanchez, but it is the one she deserves. And she's played by Angela Vega. The description that Netflix gives for the show is, one family's fight for survival in a future dystopian Madrid illustrates the disparity between two worlds separated by a fence, and so much more. The opening scene of the show is like 20 years or so before the rest of the show takes place, and it was one of the most emotional ones that I've seen for any of these shows. I'm not going to tell you what happens. I originally wasn't actually going to cover this show. I saw it in my recommendation section. I was like, okay, I'll give it a try, but I'm just going to watch it to enjoy it. I usually watch these shows waiting for something to happen so I can write it down so I don't forget, and I'm hypercritical about a lot of things. But with this show, I didn't want to do that. But after finishing it, I was like, this show's like way too good to not include in this podcast. I got my mom into watching it, and it really was those first 6 minutes or so that grabbed our attention, and I don't want to ruin that for any of you, but I will tell you, I was screaming at my TV. But let's go over when we first meet some of the characters in 2045. And I should say, the new name of the country is Nueva España, or New Spain, and they have a new anthem that's sung by children. It's on Apple Music, so you should go and listen, because it's super fucking creepy. But the first person we meet in Nueva España is Julia, and she is riding her bike through Sector 2 in Madrid, making a delivery. And the shots of the city show just how bad it is in this sector. There are almost zero vehicles on the roads, and the ones that are mostly military. The trees are all dead, the buildings look run down and abandoned. I will say the green screen isn't the best. It is kind of obvious, but it's also like not the worst I've seen. But we see military people walking around, and there's a giant TV that only runs pro-government propaganda disguised as a news channel. We see a few of these screens throughout the city, and they run all day long. And you see a bunch of signs throughout the city with sayings like Te Protege, which is translated only in the regular English subtitles. It doesn't translate in the closed caption option, which I don't really know why, but it's translated as We Protect You. It actually just means protect you, which is the same message, but I think it's a bit more threatening. You know, like, it's more of a command than it is a promise, if you will. And you see the flag for Nueva España. I will post a picture of the flag so you can see the comparison, but to me, it has a bit of a Nazi feel to it. They kept the colors of red and yellow. For those that don't know, the Spanish flag is red and yellow. The top stripes are still red with the yellow thicker stripe in the middle, but they replaced the emblem that sits in the center left part of the flag with their new emblem that sits right in the middle. All of the people that work for the government wear pins on their clothing of the emblem, and it's on the signs as well, but those aren't in the black circle the way it is on the flag. Again, I'll upload the picture of it on Instagram so you can see it. But we also see some signs that say, El futuro nos pertenece, the future belongs to us, and then it shows us the title screen. But taking in Madrid the way it is in the show is pretty heavy, mainly because to me, it could have been any city. Like, if you didn't know that it was Madrid, it would literally be Paris, Boston, New York, Los Angeles. Like, it could have literally been anywhere in the world. And knowing what Madrid looks like today and seeing what it became is a very somber feeling. But the title screen takes us to meeting Hugo and Marta for the first time. I'm not going to talk about what they're doing, but they are on the coast. Like I mentioned before, they don't live in Madrid at the beginning of the show. They live in the Asturias region of Spain, which is located in the northern part of the country. And when we see them walk along the beach, you can see all the homes that are basically in ruins. And I'll come back to them in a minute, meaning Hugo and Marta, because we then see Julia making her delivery and she has to walk the alcohol up several flights, which sucks, like, no thanks. But then when the woman pays her for it, she asks Julia if she would bring it up to the private rooms, and Julia looks at her like, are you serious? And the woman says, before she can even say anything, like, thanks, sweetheart, and leaves. And Julia's like, okay. But Julia brings the alcohol up and we see that the place she's delivering the alcohol to is a sex club. I don't know if you would call it a brothel. I mean, it has private rooms, so I guess you could, but it's more just like a weird orgy type party club thing. I don't know. But when Julia looks down at where most people are, they're dancing to music. A lot of them are partially or completely naked. One guy's only wearing a ruff around his neck and like legit nothing else. But it's what Julia encounters when she gets up to the private rooms that really sets up a major part of Julia's storyline. And I'm not going to tell you what happens. You can watch the show to see what happens there. But once Julia returns to her home after everything that happens, we meet Carlos for the first time. And because they talk about what happened to Julia, that's all I'm going to say about meeting Carlos. After that, we meet Alex, who is on a coach bus with Hugo and Marta, and little TVs that are on the backs of all the seats are playing the same thing as those screens throughout the city of Madrid. There is literally no escaping that woman. She is everywhere. And we first see him after a military member walks past him on the bus. That is Alex I'm talking about. And he looks back at him after he passes. And he's sitting behind Hugo and he leans in and asks Hugo how far away Madrid is. And Hugo tells him about 2 hours. And he tells him not to be a pain and just relax. And then Alex mentions the guy's gun and that it's creeping him out. I'm with Alex. I think it was when we were in Switzerland. It might have been France, but there was once when we were on a train, police came onto the train with guns looking for someone, and it was super scary. They got on one stop and got off the next, but I can't imagine how scary it would be to be on a coach bus while they're walking up and down the aisles the whole ride, because just them walking past us, like, for a second, I was like, I'm scared. But Hugo tells him to stop because he doesn't want to scare Marta, and Alex nods his head and then leads over and makes Marta laugh by pretending to be the woman on the news and saying that the latest news is that she shit her pants. And even though Hugo laughs when he says it, he tells Alex to stop because they were getting a little loud and it is at night, and for whatever reason everything seems louder at night than it does during the day. But Alex says another line and they laugh a little until one of the agents comes up and aggressively asks what's going on. And when Hugo starts to apologize, the agent tells him to shut up and then looks at Alex and tells him to watch himself. And again, once the agent walks away, Alex leans in and says something else to make Hugo and Marta laugh. Then we meet the asshole that is Comandante Enrique, and he is responding to what happened to Julia earlier. And if the flag doesn't give you a Nazi feeling, the outfits of these assholes will. The arrogance also adds to the feeling, but the moment that piece of shit walks into the shot, the first thing I thought was Nazis. We also meet Nevado for the first time this meeting, but it's very, very quick. The first time we meet Emilia is when Hugo, Marta, and Alex arrive in Madrid, and there's a moment when they reach a police checkpoint that's a little nerve-wracking, so they are super happy to see Emilia outside of her shop. It's a really sweet and emotional moment because traveling in between the different sectors and different regions of Spain at this time is not easy at all. Even rewatching the scene now as I'm like going over this part of the plot makes me emotional, but Emilia decides to not open her shop for the day and to bring them all home and help them get settled in. And this is when we meet Begoña, the super nosy bitch neighbor who lives across the hall from Emilia, and we see her up on a balcony hanging clothes, being nosy, looking down at Emilia, Hugo, Marta, and Alex making their way to Emilia's apartment. Later that night, Julia joins them, and we see Emilia checking their health to make sure that they don't have the virus, which is like the main part of the whole storyline. Up until this point, they haven't really gone into the virus too much, but they do eventually talk about it, and there is something that is mentioned during this scene that seems like it's super important, but I will tell you now, they do not tell you what it is or what it means or anything in the first season. It was the one thing I waited for an answer to for the whole show, and they don't directly address it at all, and I was not happy about it. And I know that's super vague and it doesn't make any sense, but when you watch the opening moments, it does. Hopefully they answer that in season 2. But while they're talking, we hear the announcement that it's time for curfew, and then Alex asks what is the curfew, and Emilia tells him it means they can't go out, and then Julia says that they turn the lights off, and then the lights go off, and we see them light some candles, and they're having dinner, and during dinner, Marta asks what life was like before all of what was happening happened, and Emilia tells her about how there used to be a river that ran across Madrid, big parks full of beautiful trees and tons of cars. And Julia says that there was a lot of pollution and tons of noise, even at night. And Marta mentions that her mom told her that there used to be phones and people had their own. And then Alex mentions how Hugo once told him that there were tons of TV channels. And then Marta asks why all of that is gone now. And there's a pause between like the adults, and Hugo says that they'll think that him and Sara have never talked to Marta about it before, but he tells Emilia and Julia that Marta knows that there was a big international conflict before she was born, a world war, and that a lot of people died, and that those deaths led to different diseases emerging and how they don't have a cure yet. And then Emilia adds the planet suffered because there was no water, and the presence of radiation in most countries led to a lot of people being scared and wanting strong governments that would keep them safe. And when Marta says that's normal, right? Emilia says, yes, but the problem was that those governments were the ones that started the war, and they took away people's freedom to try to achieve security, and then Julia says that they will get it back, and Alex and Marta says that they'll help, and they end the scene with a toast, quote, to freedom, to life, to never forgetting those we love, who are not here anymore, and to us always being together. And that's where I'm going to leave it as well. I know there were characters that I didn't mention yet. They don't show up until either later in the episode or the next episode, and I don't want to ruin the whole first episode for you guys. And some of those characters are introduced to us after a pretty big thing happens in the first episode. I'm going to tell you guys, this show is so, so good. And the first episode does a great job of drawing you in. And when I first watched it, I had to wait a week for the next episode to be released. And I don't really watch weekly shows anymore. I hate having to wait a week in between episodes, so I pretty much either wait until they're all available to binge, or I like only watch bingeable shows. So at least you guys can binge it all at once, because having to wait every week for a new episode was legit torture for the show. But before I get into exactly what I liked about this show, here's a promo from my friend Kevin and his new upcoming podcast, Addiction.
Addiction, noun. The fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity. An overwhelming compulsion. What makes us fall into the world of drugs and addiction? Why can some of us dabble in the illicit and walk away unscathed, while others of us travel downward into the deep spiral of addiction? Humans have always had a fascination with the allure of getting high. Our obsession with drugs isn't a new societal epidemic, but one that has actually has its roots dating back to the ancient days of mankind. While the drugs we utilize to try and get high nowadays may have shifted, our fascination with the darkened path of addiction has not changed. If you or a loved one have been struggling with addiction, or have in the past, and would like to share your story, please feel free to reach out to me via social media or through email at juryroompodcast@gmail.com. This is Addicted, a Jury Room production. Coming soon to wherever you listen to this podcast.
Okay, so for my likes and dislikes, I have absolutely nothing bad to say about this show. I loved everything about it. It opened with one of the most attention-grabbing moments I've seen in any show, not just the shows that I've covered for this podcast. Like I said before, I was shouting at my TV, like, no, 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 like over and over and over again. And it was so good that I made my mom watch it as soon as she got home from work. And again, it was so good that she started watching the show right away. Like, usually that doesn't happen. She's watched a few shows that I've covered, but it's usually because I have to ask over and over and over again if she watched them because she said she wanted to. But with this show, I think I asked once and she was like, yes, I'm watching it. Because it's literally just so good. I thought the acting was really, really good. The ending was a little confusing, and me and my mom agreed that the show needed like 15 more minutes to explain what was happening with one of the characters in particular. Hopefully they will go over it in season 2. The suspense that is there throughout the whole show kept me on the edge of my seat, waiting to see what was going to happen next. And they did such a good job of keeping you guessing of what was going to happen. And what each character was going to do in different situations was also a complete guessing game, because there were times where it seemed obvious what the character was going to do, and then they did the exact opposite, and there were times where it seemed like the character had a change of heart and they were going to do the right thing, and then they don't. I thought all the characters were unique and real. There are clearly good and bad people, and there are people who want to do the right thing but are stuck in a system where if they do the right thing, them and their family will probably definitely be killed. So the dynamics between all the characters were a lot of fun to watch. What wasn't fun was the fact that this show could be our future. It's definitely more realistic to be our future than 3% from Brazil. I mean, they are dealing with a virus that they need to keep out of the cities. Again, I mentioned earlier, this was first aired in January 2020, but was released on Netflix in September 2020. So when it first came out, COVID-19 wasn't a thing yet for at least 2 more months, but when it was released on Netflix, we were almost a year into the COVID-19 quarantine. So it was a little spooky, a little, you know, there's a scene where people have to put on their masks after an announcement, and it was like, yeah, I can see that actually happening. And the fact that it's the depletion of natural resources that creates this great big divide between classes that leads to a dictator taking over is also super believable. I mean, right now I'm recording this while there is a war going on in Ukraine that could potentially lead to World War III, and the events of this show were set up by an international conflict that was a world war, as well as with different viruses going out. So there is a lot of similarities to what's happening right now in the world, and it's kind of creepy and kind of unnerving. Hopefully it takes a little longer than 24 years for us to reach that point that the show is at, and hopefully something happens between now and 2045 that prevents it from happening, but I would not be shocked if it did. Again, this is a far more realistic future for us than what 3% from Brazil is. Both are still kind of creepy to think, like, we could end up like that, but it's a little unnerving. If you guys give this show a chance, let me know what you thought about it. Like I said, it was definitely one of my favorites. Because this show takes place in a dystopian future, there weren't a lot of things that stood out. The one thing that I noticed was the salute. Again, it's similar to the salute from Luxembourg, so palms facing forward, and the only time we see modern time there is basically a riot happening outside, so I guess that's similar. But if you guys give this show a chance and anything stands out to you, let me know. There was only one word that I was able to pick up while watching the show, and it's because it's the name of one of the characters, and it is the word Coronel, spelled C-O-R-O-N-E-L, and it means colonel, so it's nothing exciting, but it is a new word that I didn't know before watching the show, so I'm going to take it. If you guys are able to pick up any words while watching this show, then let me know. For familiar faces, I wasn't able to recognize any of the actors from this show, but if you guys are able to, then let me know. I have seen some of these actors in other shows and movies since watching this show, so that's exciting. But I can't really technically count that because I saw this show first. But that's all I have for you guys for this show. Like I mentioned earlier, I saw online that there is going to be a second season of this show. Thank God, because I have so many questions. And I saw that a lot of the actors are returning, which makes me super happy. And as soon as I have a release date, I will make sure to let you guys know. Again, if you don't follow the podcast on Instagram, you might miss some announcements for the shows that I've already covered, so make sure you go and do that. I hope you guys give this show a chance because it was really, really, really good. If you do give this show a chance, let me know what you thought about it, if you liked it or not. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at @officialHYSI. You can check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/officialHYSI. And if you have show suggestions or feedback, you can email me at haveyouseenit1@gmail.com. That is the number one, not the word. I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and healthy, and I will see you next week, where I will be talking about three different shows from three different countries. See you then.